I've never heard you tell that story. Isn't that awesome? And do you know, I want that for me, and I want that for you, and I want that for all of us. You know, we're going to talk tonight about freedom and healing, and we're going to talk about forgiveness and judgments. But before we do, let's just welcome the Holy Spirit again, eh? Can never have enough of him, can we? So on the back of that anointed testimony from Darren, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, we love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for healing Darren, for binding up his heart, for carrying all of his burdens, for bringing forgiveness in that situation, Lord. We ask tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would open our eyes to those issues in our life that have hurt us and drag us down and put heaviness on us and suppress us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us find release and freedom and forgiveness tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's funny, I feel like you could start every week of Route 61 by saying, this is a really important week. But the thing is, it's 12 really important weeks. And I'm certainly not having anyone have a go at anyone who's like this, but it's almost like on some courses that I've been on, including church courses, if you do 9 out of 12, you kind of get it. Do you know what I mean? Well, I've done 9. So that's pretty, you know, 3/4. I've got the gist. I've got the gist. Here's the thing. There's no gist in this. Every week in itself is something very specific. And therefore, you know, this is a week that you can't miss. And so if you find that you've done 11 and not this, then there's something missing. Same as if you'd missed week 1 or week 12 or whatever. It's you know, it's so important. And tonight, I want to, you know, go on from the fact that we've talked about the Holy Spirit and we have talked about God, our dad and our father, and we've talked about the good news of Jesus and what was achieved and accomplished on the cross. And they're all awesome. And I just want to read again to you from Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." It's amazing how many things can bind us and how many things can hurt us. And, you know, one of the things, one of the visions that we had of a church, of our church, was we wanted it to be a church where when people come in, they're going to meet people who are just like them, but who have been healed. And that's really important. And if you haven't been with us that long, and you're itching to do stuff with us, fantastic. There's a load of stuff that we want you to do. But before you do that, we would love for you to kind of go through what Darren's gone through, all the positives, not 10 years of depression, but, you know, all of the positives and the release of coming out of that. We want you to do that. And the reason we want you to do that is because, like us, and like me, hurting people hurt other people. And I've heard some unbelievable prayer stuff going on in churches over the years where I've heard people say, "So what's wrong then?" And someone says, "Well, you know, my husband's left me." And they'll go, "Oh, well, that's men all over." You know, so they've come out for prayer and the person that's sort of going to pray with them is absolutely hurt and injured from an incident themselves that they're still reeling from. You know, or someone else will come out and say, "I've had a massive argument with my brother," and this person will go, "Oh, families, they're a nightmare." Do you know what I mean? And they've got a point, but they're hurt. And we want to grow a church where healed people help people. Does that make sense? And this is a massive part of that process. We want you today to truly understand and receive the freedom, but also the authority that comes from forgiveness and the breaking of judgments. Do you know there's a description of forgiveness, and it's this: a choice to release others. What a fantastic description of forgiveness, that, isn't it? A choice to release others. That's easier than it sounds, but it's a very simple explanation. And if you remember not very many things from tonight, remember that freedom is forgiveness is a choice to release others. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, Jesus gives us the model prayer. And in it he says that a number of things, but shortly sort of after this, Peter goes up to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive? And Jesus says he says, you know, should I forgive him seven times? And Jesus says, no, not seven, but seven times 70. So for all of you mathematicians out there, that's 490 times for every person. And I just sat down tonight and I worked out you've overran by seven, Martin. So can you leave the building now? It was a bad year last year. But that's not what Jesus is saying at all. What Jesus is saying actually is it's unlimited. You know, there's no maths involved in this. If he'd said nine, he would have said 90 times nine. If he'd said 10, he would have said 100 times 10. In other words, it's unlimited. You never run out of forgiveness credit for someone. And then Jesus goes on to talk about forgiveness. He says it's like a king or a master who decides to call in his debts, and he gets one servant in who owes him 10,000 talents. And he says, pay me now or I'll throw you into prison. And the servant hasn't got the money, and he throws himself on the mercy of the king. And the Bible says that the king was moved with compassion. The man says, please be patient with me. Please be patient with me. And the king is moved to compassion. And that story reminds me of when Carolyn was leading a youth group at a camp in Wales some years ago. And this youth camp had about 200 or 300 kids in it. There's a lot of kids from Africa there, and they're wild, they're uncontrolled. You know, big groups of kids from Africa. They're just culturally very, very different. And it was a nightmare trying to get 100 kids to do what she wanted. And one particular kid drove her nuts this day. And when his mum came, the mum came in, and Carolyn told the mum what this kid had done. You know, she just basically, I've had enough of him, he's been an absolute nightmare. And the mother says to the kid, get on your knees and beg for forgiveness now, to this little kid. And this kid throws himself on the floor at her feet, grabs hold of her legs and begs for forgiveness. And she just started to cry. She was just moved with compassion for this little kid and got down and said, I'll totally forgive you. You know, just dramatic. And that's exactly what's happening in this description here that Jesus gives. And he says, you know, that's kind of the first bit of it. But then he releases this man and says, your debts are cancelled. This man immediately goes away and finds another servant that owes him 100 denarii, it says, which in comparison to 10,000 talents is, it's just pennies. It's just pennies. Give me what you owe me now. And the servant throws himself at the feet of this servant and says, be patient with me, be merciful to me. And he isn't. And the Bible says he grabs him by the throat and throws him in prison. And it's pretty dramatic, isn't it, that he grabs him by the throat and throws him in prison. And a number of people in the community are appalled by this behaviour. And they go back to the king. And they say to the king, do you know what's just happened? And they tell the king the whole story. And the compassion has gone. And the king brings this man back. And he says to him, until your debt is paid, I'm going to deliver you into the torturers. I'm going to deliver you to the torturers until your debt's paid. I mean, that is a dramatic story. And, you know, I think it's one of those things really where verse 35 just kicks it off in Matthew 18. It says, in 34 it says, "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Shocking, isn't it? It's absolutely shocking. And I've found that to be a really shocking thing in my own life. I think that there are five key steps to understanding true forgiveness. And I'm going to go through two or three of them with you, and then Carolyn's going to do a couple as well. The first is for us to grasp that we are truly forgiven. The first point is we are truly forgiven. It starts with us understanding that. In Romans 4 verse 8, it says, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Isn't that awesome? Whose sin the Lord will never count against him. If you know Jesus, you're totally forgiven. It rolls off the tongue, that, doesn't it? If you know Jesus, you're totally forgiven. But it's true. It is finished. It means an awful lot, doesn't it? To be totally forgiven. And you know, sometimes I get that. And sometimes my sin wrestles with me. And I find myself having issues with the fact that I'm a sinner. Like at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Knowing I'm a sinner and actually speaking here tonight was something I was wrestling with. And here's a few things, I've said it before, but I'm going to say them again, that I have a problem with, or an issue with, or a challenge with, to do with sin. Here's the first one. I sin. Fact. So do you. You know, I sin. Here's the second one. I sin a lot, actually. I sin a lot. And the third is, I think that my sins are worse than yours. It is true. In fact, whenever I say that, Ruddick always shouts, "That's true, that." Here's the fourth one, and this is a really tough one for me. I can't stop. I can't stop sinning. And here's the fifth one. I think I sin more than you do. And they are challenges that I often, wrestle with myself. But the truth is, I am totally forgiven. I am totally forgiven. And that's the shocking thing about grace, isn't it? That I am totally forgiven. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness." Lord, please forgive me for my sins. And in an instant, we're forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it just awesome to know that that's the truth? So point number one, it starts with understanding that we are truly forgiven. Point number two is this. We must forgive in order to be forgiven ourselves. We must forgive in order to be forgiven ourselves. Mark 11 verse 25 and 26. Let's just read that together. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." There are some Bible stories and some Bible verses that really get you in the gut. And that's one for me. You know, verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." You know, when I heard that, it shook me to the core. When I really started to understand that, it shook me to the core. The Bible says you can't love God and hate your brother. And I was kind of blown away by some of the examples in our group tonight where the guys just shared some things that they've done, where they've had to forgive, and it's released freedom and peace and happiness. There were some awesome stories. But I just want to tell you about a time when I struggled to do that. Beginning of last year, I lent someone some money, and it's quite a bit of money. Well, it was to me, anyway. And I lent it in good faith. And there's a difference, I think, between lending someone something in good faith for a very short period of time on the understanding that you're going to get it back, and giving something to someone. When you give something to someone, you certainly don't expect it back. You're giving it away. And that wasn't the circumstance here. That wasn't the situation. It was something short term, because actually we didn't have the money to give it away. We needed it back for something else. And we lent this money out. And the person vanished off the face of the earth. Stopped returning calls, stopped answering texts. We just stopped seeing them. They just disappeared from our life. And for about 6 months, the rage inside of me was white hot. I was so angry that I was actually getting heart palpitations with rage. Can you understand that? I was so angry with this individual. It was affecting me physically. Have you ever had that? Have you ever felt like that about someone? Well, I did. I did. And it was, and I suffered. I really suffered physically as a result. But more than that, if you know anything about me, you know that about 5 years ago, I started a business. And that business has ran on fresh air for 5 years. God has just blessed us in ways that we can't believe. Honestly, can't believe. And I felt for the last 5 years like I've been under this waterfall. And I can't actually stand the amount of water coming down on me, because it's just so much that it's hurting my neck. You know, the blessing of God on our lives has been awesome. You know, in many ways, but definitely financially. You know, we've just been so blessed as a family over the last 5 years. And I'm totally cool about telling you that God has blessed us financially. There's nothing wrong in that at all. All right? But at this time, when this was going on, it wasn't like that at all. My business dried up. It was as if God had turned the fountain off on this waterfall. And I'm like, hang on, God, where's this amazing blessing? Where is it? It's gone? Or is it over here? If I do this, that's how it worked last time. Nothing. Oh, well, I'll do this then. I'll ring this person. I'll do this job. Nothing. Until I got to the point where physically, emotionally, and financially, something had to give. And over the course of about 3 weeks, I began to forgive this individual for stealing from us. And it took about 3 weeks, and then we actually sat with this person and said, we completely release you from this. And they just broke down. Just broke down and lost it, really. And I can tell you that today, I completely forgive them. Completely forgive them. And from that day, the whole heart palpitation thing stopped. The rage sort of just disappeared, and the business picked up. The business just picked up from that day. So we must forgive in order to be forgiven ourselves. You see, the thing is that if we don't forgive, if unforgiveness exists, it gives the devil a legal right to attack and affect us. It says so in the Bible. You know, we're not getting blessed where unforgiveness exists. You know, the Bible says we have to dwell in unity, and if we dwell in unity, it commands a blessing. And if there's unforgiveness there, there's no unity there. And so that is going to be an issue all the time. The third point that I want to talk about is that we are able to forgive. Matthew 6, verse 12, it says, as we forgive those. So Jesus is talking about something perfectly natural. As we forgive. All right, so God will never ask us to do something we can't do ourselves. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. He gave us a free gift. Cost him everything, but he gave us a free gift. And Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. Freely you've received, freely give. You know, you might be sat there tonight, and some people have really hurt you, really hurt you. Do you know what? God knows. God knows whether it was irritating or painful or devastating. There was a story of a girl in America. I was really moved by this. When she was a young girl, her mother had her boyfriend come and live with them. And one morning, she, this little girl was woken up by screaming, and she went into her mother's bedroom and saw her own mother murdered by this guy. And she saw the blood on the walls and the screams that rang in it rang out throughout the house. And she lived with that for years, and she hated the guy that did it. And, you know, for years she was just like this coiled spring. You know, she was just pent up anger. And for years, and she had health problems and all sorts of stuff. Until years later, when she was in some kind of college lesson, and someone explained the fact that when Jesus went to the cross, an innocent lamb was killed for us, and she recalled the fact that her mother was just innocent. You know, this guy had just murdered her for no reason. And then she realized that she'd murdered Jesus, you know, and you did, and I did. The Bible says that it was us, you know, we weren't there, but mankind murdered our Lord. And she said something hit her that day, that Jesus paid a price that we could never truly grasp, you know, but she got a glimpse of it that day. That said, you know, an innocent sacrifice went to the cross, and she broke. She absolutely broke, and she just started to forgive this man, went to see him in prison. Her health picked up, her life picked up and changed, and she realized there and then that she can forgive. And I'm just going to pass over to Carolyn now to talk over the other things.
This space. You can get everything on, okay? You don't feel like you're fumbling around. So on the sheet of forgiveness and judgment, the fourth one is we should forgive. And that's kind of a command, isn't it? We should forgive. And in Colossians 3, verse 13, it says, bear with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Then in verse 14 it says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And for me, when I was reading this, you know, it starts off by saying, bear with each other. You know, what? Get alongside people, stand with them, you know. And I'm thinking, we're talking about forgiveness. How can I stand with someone I need to forgive? You know, and, well, that's how it starts. You know, it says, bear with one another. And, you know, forgiveness. The word itself, the root word comes from charis, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, which is from grace. You know, forgiveness is rooted in grace, and we all stand, you know, under Christ, you know, forgiven through his grace. So, you know, when it says bear with one another, you know, sometimes we need to bear with people, support them, you know, when they've been through something traumatic and they're working through forgiveness, you know, we need to stand with them. Help them, support them. But sometimes we're on our own. You know, we're bearing through something. We're pushing in with God. But Jesus, you know, through Christ, he's with us. He's bearing with us. He went to the cross. You know, he sacrificed his own son to bear with us so that when we have to face certain situations and offer and forgive people, you know, he took that when he went to the cross. For us, you know, he did it to make it possible for us to do it. And it, you know, like forgiveness, the word forgiveness, you know, like whatever grieves, what someone grieves, does something against us. That's what forgiveness is. It could be something really small. It could be massive. And you know, you might say to me, well, Carolyn, you don't know what I've been through in my life, and I don't. But I know when I've applied forgiveness as a principle, God's really blessed me and freed me personally. And, you know, sometimes the journey's a hard journey. It's a long journey. You know, we can say, I forgive someone. That's just the start. You know, when I was preparing for this, I was reminded of, you know, the onion, an onion. So when you forgive, it's like an onion, really. You say the first words, I forgive you. And like God kind of just takes that first layer of the onion off, and you think, I've said it. I've forgiven that person. I've said it. Yeah, everything's sorted. But it's not always like that. Sometimes, because it's deep-rooted in our lives and could go right back to childhood or anything, you know, there's another layer that needs to come off, and there's another level of forgiveness that you have to go through. And that, for me, you know, when I forgave someone, I thought, yeah, I've done it. But then God's like, there's another layer. Like, and it's painful again, but it's a deeper forgiveness. And it's a journey, you know, when it says 7 times, where it says in the Bible about forgiving someone 7 times 70. You know, for me, sometimes you forgive, but then there's more layers to your onion, if you like, where that comes into it. And so, you know, it's something we must do, it says, you know. So you also must, Christ forgave you, so you must do it. You know, we are standing free through the cross, you know, and he forgave us for all the wrongs that we did, every single small thing, big thing, you know, so that we can forgive. And, you know, my children do things wrong all the time. I mean, I do, but as an example, this is what God really showed me. My kids do things wrong all the time, and I'm forever having to correct them. I'm forever having to say, don't do that. You know, sometimes they'll say things that they don't mean. It just falls out of their mouths. You know, Steph will say something to me, and she doesn't mean it, it just comes out. And, like, my natural reaction is, I think, she blows me away sometimes, but I forgive her straight away, actually, because I'm a parent. I love her that much. I forgive her. So before she comes to me to say, you know, I'm sorry about that, and then we have a conversation and she gets disciplined and all that. But anyway, I forgive her. It's in my heart to forgive her. My heart is for her. It's for all my children. And God's heart for me, because I'm his favourite, did you know that, is to forgive me, just like you're his favourite. And the longer you do this course, the more you'll realise you're his favourite. And he loves me that much, you know, that he sent his son to die for me. And I know that he wants the best for me, which is exactly what I want for our Steph, our Joel and our James. You know, so my heart just goes for them, and that's God's heart goes for us, and he longs for us to move in the area, you know, to forgive people, because that keeps our relationship with him in grace. Forgiveness is tied to grace. And then it goes on to say, put on love, which I think is quite interesting, but above all these things, put on love. How can you put on love, you know? Is it like a coat? Is it a dress? What? I don't know. You know, it says put it on. You know, so it's a choice. You know, you do it. You choose to do it. You know, you get up and you choose to forgive someone. But you choose then. You have to choose then to kind of, as you pray for them, the more you pray for them, you move into love with them. God changes your heart. It's quite amazing what God does in your heart. There's a story of a lady called Renee in America, whose daughter got killed at the age of 22, I think it was, in a car crash by a 24-year-old college student who was drink driving. She was 20, actually, and instantly killed in the car with a friend. And she was a Christian, the mother, but the devastation, the ripples of the devastation of that in their family was immense. She was filled with bitterness. She was filled with hatred. And her relationship with God was cut because of all the heaviness that she carried. And naturally so, you know, you go through a grieving process. You can understand that she wouldn't like the man. You can understand that she would have all these feelings. But it blocked her relationship with God, and she got depressed, and she just spiraled down. And then God clearly spoke to her and said, you need to forgive this man. You need to let it go for your sake. But also, you know, it says about how God, you know, it's God who judges. You know, we shouldn't judge. And So she chose to forgive and went on a journey of forgiveness, which took her a little while to do. The guy was convicted to 22 years in prison because he'd killed two people. He was 24 when he went in, so basically his life was pretty much over. 8 years into the sentence, she'd been on this journey of freedom and forgiveness. Went to see him, told her she was a Christian, told him everything that had happened. They struck up. This guy was blown away by it. He couldn't believe that this lady would do this. He became a Christian in prison. And then the remarkable thing was she was so moved by in compassion towards this man and to work with other people that, to tell college students, don't drink and drive, the consequences are whatever. She knew that her ministry, to deliver it properly, needed him. So she started to pray that God would release him from prison. She got her whole family to pray that this man would be released from prison. And 11 of her family members stood before the judge. This was unheard of at all in America. Stood before the judge and told the judge why this man needed to be released from prison. He was released from prison. He served 11 years of his 22-year prison sentence. And he's part of the family. He's like a son. And they deliver a message around America about how important it is, to not drink drive. But that was from one lady's traumatic experience. God turned it around and it has made an amazing new relationship. But she could never have seen that for her act of forgiveness, her choice. She chose to forgive. She chose to put on love and chose to forgive. So then, it goes on to, with forgiveness, we can choose to forgive. And that's what a decision we make. But sometimes our heart isn't quite in line with us. And forgiveness is very much linked to judgment. So generally when we hold unforgiveness in our heart of hearts, we kind of judge the person. And I remember Margaret telling us the story of, if that was forgiveness there, how many fingers do you see right now? Anyone? One? Yeah. But when I turn like that, there's two. So there's like the forgiveness side that we need to do, which then reveals that there's a judgment going on in the heart. And I want to look at Matthew 7, verse 1, which says, "Judge not that you be not judged. Well, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Shall I say that again? With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It's pretty scary, really, isn't it? If we judge somebody, what happens? If you can imagine when God lives in heaven, yeah? And his son, Jesus, came down to earth and died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he made it possible for us to have a relationship with God, which means that when we say yes to Jesus, it's possible for us to have a relationship with God through Jesus, okay? So we then, through our giving Jesus all of our sins, all of our hurts and things like that, and saying, "Lord, I want you in my life, I want you to have control," he takes that, all our sin, and then gets rid of it. So we're clean at that point, that one point in time, we're clean, and we're able to have relationship with God through Jesus. But when things happen in our lives that hurt us, then if we choose not to forgive, then God, we break a relationship with our God there, because we're not making it possible for us to not judge, which is what's saying in the word there. So we come down back into our own way of thinking, our own way of life. And we open up our lives to the enemy, really, for him to take charge. It says, the same, that the measure will be back to us, So we just stand down here. And what we're saying, they did this, they hurt me, and they don't deserve me to forgive them. As soon as we say those type of words or feel them in our hearts, we're just giving the enemy a legal right to be like, "Woohoo! She won't forgive in that area, so I can get her in that area. She won't let that go. I can get her in that area." And for me, this became very real, a very real principle, really, because Stephanie, our oldest, is 11. And when she was in primary school, she's now in secondary, she went through about 4 years of being bullied, 4 or 5 years of being mentally tormented by somebody, another girl in the class. And to the point where everyone in the family was praying about it. And I mean everyone, all the aunties, the uncles, me and Ian were praying about it, and it didn't break, just wouldn't break. And I remember saying to God, getting annoyed with God, really, and saying to him, we're praying, everyone's praying about this, what is going on? You know, I need some revelation on it. And God just said, I'll give you it, get the kids to school, come home and spend some time with me. I thought, okay, it's quite simple. Took the kids to school, came home and spent some time with God. And in the process of just like sort of waiting on God and listening to God, God reminded me of when I was in secondary school when I got bullied for about 2 weeks. It wasn't a long period of time, but it was horrendous. It was for 2 weeks. And this girl mentally tormented me for 2 weeks. Didn't physically do anything, just mentally broke me down, what she was going to do to me, how she was going to do it, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it got sorted out, because it only went on for a short period of time. But God reminded me of that, and he went, did you forgive those two girls? And I was like, yeah, I think I did, actually. And he went, did you judge them? And I was like, yeah, they deserved that. And God went, did they really? And I was like, so, you know, I had to go through my own journey and process of releasing these two girls that had bullied me. And as I prayed that prayer at the time, that was, I think it was a Monday, actually, and it was round about 2 o'clock. I remember doing it. And Stephanie came home that night when we were talking in the kitchen. And she'd said to me, oh, me and so-and-so. She said, we had a chat this afternoon at last break, which was round about 2 o'clock, by the way. We decided that we were going to let the past be the past. And we were going to be friends. And I was like, really? So I thought, okay. So then, but if I can demonstrate that as a picture, I think it's quite interesting. Ian, can you be my bully? Yeah. You can be. Margaret, can you be Steffi? No, I'm not going to ask you to be the bully, that one, weren't going to. Andy, do you want to be Margaret's bully?
Smack her up a bit,
Andy. So, you can't be up there. You can't be up there, we're down here. So for me, because I was bullied at school, I looked at this relationship, which was Stephanie and her bully, and I didn't like this person at all, because how dare they bully my daughter? For me, that was what was going on inside. This is what God showed me, actually. So for me and Margaret, we were linked spiritually. She's my daughter, you know. I loved her. I don't want the best for her. So we're linked spiritually. So she can't get free from this bully because I'm still tied to mine, okay? So when God showed me this picture of what was going on, and I kind of stopped judging my bully anymore. You can go now. Thank you. This released them two to have a conversation where they were able to be friends and put the past behind them. Thank you. So in doing that, that released them. And they were never really close friends, but they got on. But Stephanie always wanted to be a friend, and I said to her, you need to forgive her. She said, she doesn't deserve my forgiveness. And I thought, ooh, I know where she got that from. And now I'm like, well, you know, this is a journey and you need to do it. And earlier this year, she went through a mini Kids 61 program, if you like, Route 61, where they learnt about forgiveness. And bless her, they had the cross. We've done this teaching with them, and there's a cross there, and they had to put post-its of names of people that they felt they had to forgive, and they judged and stuff. And Stephanie had she obliterated this cross. Everyone else had one or two, and she had about 30. And I thought, in my heart of hearts, I thought, oh, I could really find that quite painful. But I wasn't. I was like, praise the Lord that my daughter's releasing this to you now. She gets what this is about. And one of the names was this girl. So she did that on the Sunday. She forgave her and she released her. On the Monday, she started playing out with that girl. And they are still friends now. So, you know, they spent a lot of time together every night, meeting up and different things leading up to them going on the 6 weeks holidays. And now they're in totally different secondary schools. They're not even in the same school, and they're still friends. And God's awesome, because He made it possible by breaking this for us then in that area of bullying and judgment, for us to be free. So now me and Stephanie can stand with Christ in his grace because we let go of judgments and released him in forgiveness.
Awesome. Is this helpful? It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible how dealing with or allowing God to deal with things that have hurt us, whether they be us judging other people or not being able to forgive them, you know, it's so powerful. And it's true what Darren said. You know, every time you do it, the Holy Spirit just reveals something or someone else. Great. Just get rid of it all. Get all. Do Route 61 100 times before you die, and you'll feel lighter. Well, I don't know, not if you eat all the biscuits, but, you know, you'll feel lighter every time you do it. That's just how it works. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Carolyn was talking about doing something very practical there, which is listening to the Holy Spirit and then actually forgiving people. So we spent some time in our small groups looking at things and people that have annoyed us, things and people that have been painful to us, and things that have been absolutely devastating. So shall we do some business with God? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to spread out in the room, and I'd like you to step away from other people. And the reason for that is I want you to have some privacy to yourself. So I'd like you to just find yourself a space in the room and get yourself away from everybody else. Just find yourself a meter or two of space. And then when you've done that, I'll tell you what we're going to do next, okay? Paul, could we just move these out of the way, bruv, because people won't be able to see. Thanks. So over against that wall would be brilliant, bruv. Thank you. A few people can stay in here, but just find yourselves a space. Just make sure there's no one around you. Are we good? All right. Just take that off a sec, Becca. Not just yet, love. So let's just be still for a minute. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just settle yourself down. Settle yourself down. Tune into heaven. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Sorry, Paul, can you move that one as well? It's just in the way. Thanks, brother. Come, Holy Spirit. I'd like you to think about the list that you wrote, where people have annoyed you, where it's been really painful, and in some cases where it's been absolutely devastating. And together, we're going to say a forgiveness prayer. And this prayer is something that we say out loud and audibly, but we're going to do it together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thanks, Becca. Guys, I'd like you to say this prayer with me. Guys, come and find yourselves a space. I'd like you to say this prayer with me. I'm going to say it slowly and carefully together. Okay? You ready? Father God, I thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to the cross for my pardon. Because of your great love, I now choose to give the same gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I pardon and forgive everyone in my life, especially, and this is what I want you to do now, I want you to either look at your list or think back to your list, and I want you now to start to think of somebody on that list, that person's name, that you would like to forgive. Maybe you want to start with someone that's just been a bit annoying. Maybe you want to look at that person, that one. So think of somebody on that list. Okay, Becca? And with the name of that person in your mind, let's say the next bit of this prayer together. I say to them tonight, from my heart, I forgive you. You owe me nothing, and I cancel your debts for Jesus' sake. Let's just stay there for a second. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I repent of all judgments that I have made, and I break them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free tonight from bitterness. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal me of all the hurt in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come now in this place. Come now, Holy Spirit, in this place. For some of you, maybe you were able to do that first one and you'd now like to move on to the second one. I'm going to leave that prayer up there for you to say about the next person. But you know, for some of you, maybe that was just too hard. That was just so hard to do that. So do you know what we're going to do? We're going to do it again. All right? For some of you, you might change the name. For some of you, it's another attempt at saying this for that first person. Let's say it again together now. Father God, let's go back one, please, Beck. Just go back one for me, please. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to the cross for my pardon. Because of your great love, I now choose to give the same gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I pardon and forgive everyone in my life, especially. And now it's over to you guys. And where you sit, just begin to forgive them. And if I can encourage you to speak it out, say that name out.
When you're doing this, we're going to have a period of time now of doing this. When you're doing this, remember to include two people. One is God, because often as a Christian, you know theologically there's nothing wrong with God. He's perfect. And you know you're not allowed to blame him for any wrong, because he can't do wrong. Yet, you can feel hurt by God, even though that's our own wrong perception. Nevertheless, you have the feeling. So include God. If you feel like God's let you down or dealt you a hard hand like Darren did, include God. And the other person you need to include in this is you. You must forgive yourself. A lot of the damage in our lives is done by us, by our own foolish decisions and mistakes. And we can hold ourselves accountable. We can have not only our hand round other people's necks. Some of us find it quite easy to forgive other people, but we'll never forgive myself for that. We need to let yourself go tonight as well. So during this time of soaking and ministry, the prayer's got to stay up there, as Ian said. Include yourself, include God. And keep working through these lists and saying the prayers. And like Ian said, say it out loud, okay? Well done.
Thanks, bless you. Let's say it again. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to the cross for my pardon. Because of your great love, I now choose to give the same gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I pardon and forgive everyone in my life, especially, say it out, guys. Next slide, please, Bex. I say to them tonight, from my heart, I forgive you. You owe me nothing, and I cancel your debts for Jesus' sake. Father, I repent of all judgments that I have made, and I break them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free tonight from bitterness. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal me of all hurt in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, now in this place. We're just going to play a little bit of music just so that we can stay in this place now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.